About a month ago, as a matter of fact, it was August 27th, I had the privilege of speaking to you about Jesus and his apostles at a place called Caesarea Philippi, and how Peter responded to Jesus' question of who they say that he is. Some of you might remember that we not only looked at their response then, but at their response following Jesus' death, following his resurrection, and then after the day of Pentecost, and how each of them was transformed enough to lay down their life for their faith in Jesus the Messiah. To me, it was clear that their actions spoke louder than their words. The title of that sermon was, Actions Speak Louder Than Words. What a wonderful blessing it is that in today's Gospel of Matthew, Jesus presents us with another opportunity to look at that very same issue. Our Lord shares with us a parable about two sons who answer their father's request to go work in the vineyard differently, and then go and do the exact opposite of what they told him. It's a page right out of the child's handbook of responses to the request to clean up your room. Yep, I will, right after this show, and then promptly go marching off to do something else. I've all been there. I probably was a charter member of that club growing up. But it's not only isolated to children. We're all shining examples of saying one thing and doing another. There's not one of us who has not done this. You can admit it. It's okay. It's not true confession time. There's forgiveness. If you found out about the greatest bargain or the most incredible restaurant with great food and remarkably affordable prices and service that you just couldn't believe, or you discovered, on the other hand, a restaurant that they never refilled your water glass and never came back to see how you were doing, you wouldn't miss that opportunity to tell people. Or maybe you found the most incredible app for your smartphone and you want to share that with everybody. They make an app for that. It's called Facebook, right? Everybody's out there saying something. Yes, of course, we've got to tell them just what's going on. Now, if it's so easy for us to share that stuff, why is it so incredibly hard to tell others about the most incredible person in your life? Jesus. Or maybe about your church that you go to, or how Jesus has and continues to change your life through a community called church. And I don't care what church it is that you attend. I know we have visitors here today who attend other churches. And that's great. You're going to church. That matters. I have difficulty understanding why people have such a hard time telling others about their very, very best friend. I overhear conversations of all sorts of things, and people usually, when a caller walks in the room, they change their thing. And sometimes I don't wear a collar. And I hear other things. It's incredible what you hear in a restaurant. All sorts of stuff. Talking about brothers, sisters, grandchildren, children. Excitement, tremendous details. And I can't help but wonder why people can't do the same when it comes to sharing about their faith. In today's day and age, it's not politically correct to talk the J word. Oh no, we're supposed to leave the J word at home. The J word is Jesus. He doesn't stay away from your life. And I can't understand why people have to tuck him away into some little pocket that is ignored. Today, we're not ignoring Jesus. Griffin and Emily made an actual decision that they want Kate to have Jesus as a part of her life forever. And that's why they made that decision about the godparents. Because they're honoring all of you to be a part of her life, just as Jesus is a part of her life. How amazing is that? God presented his message of salvation to the Jewish leaders through John the Baptist. That's the John that he was talking about in the gospel today. And they rejected that message. Sinners, tax collectors, and prostitutes received the message with open arms and open hearts. Jewish leaders claimed to serve God and that they were faithful to the absolute letter of the Torah. But in fact, these leaders were not obedient to God. They totally rejected the message of John the Baptist, just as they rejected the message of Jesus himself. And it's a paradox in that sinners, with no claim to righteousness whatsoever, believed both John the Baptist and Jesus. And that's why Jesus said that they were entering the kingdom of God. They knew that they desperately needed grace. How hard is it to people to admit that they're in need of a Savior? Well, I'm preaching to the choir here today. Jesus came to the world, to the people who were desperately needing grace. And I'm sure that they told their friends the good news that they had received in receiving and sharing and becoming disciples, which means followers. Their actions spoke louder than words. For Jesus, doing the will of the Father is much more than words. It's always a matter of deeds. Now, I'm not talking about earning your way to heaven. You can't do anything to earn your way to heaven. You just have to believe. That's what Jesus said. It's one thing to say that you will do something as the will of the Father. It's another thing to actually do it, like those two sons. Words alone mean nothing. Lip service. The author of the Epistle of James reminds us, "For just as the body without the Spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." That's from James 2:26. Actions still speak louder than words. And then, again, this is not about earning your way to heaven through works. For the works have already been done. The work that was required was Jesus on the cross. He died once for all so that we may be forgiven. And we should be gratefully obedient about that and want to do things for him, to share him and his love with others, all for his glory. So why is it so easy to share our favorite things and stories, but we can't get up and share Jesus with others? Today, we're about, in just a few moments, to witness a beautiful sacrament, the sacrament of baptism. Catherine, Kate, Jeter Evans is about to be blessed by water from the Jordan River. We sent a messenger this morning to bring a jar back. No. Emily and Griffin bought a little jar of Jordan River water that will be blessed, and she will be baptized in that, washed in the sacrament, and officially become a member of the kingdom of God. How great is that? I promise you, you're going to be telling people about her baptism today. And that's the start. That's a wonderful start. And I really have to commend Emily and Griffin and Big Brother Charles. He's an important part of this because he's going to be, right, Charles? You're going to be a big part of Emily's life, and she's going to be a big part of your life, for taking steps for Kate and for the whole family. And that goes for the family of St. Andrews as well. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, "There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Ephesians 4:4-6. This beautiful event, which Jesus told Nicodemus about the way to be born again, saying, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." Thank you, Emily, Griffin, and Charles. And in just a few moments, we'll do just that and baptize Kate with water, and with an anointing of holy chrism. It's a special oil. as outward signs of inward grace. That's the definition of a sacrament that she receives through the Holy Spirit. You know, I believe that God is more impressed by what we do than what we promise. God's not interested in our saying one thing and doing another, or our waiting till we get around to it. How many of us are guilty that when something horrible is happening or something stressful in our life and we try to make a deal with God, God, if you only take care of this and let this go, I'll do this, this, and this. And we never get around to doing this, this, and this. But God takes care of us. I'm sure you know of somebody, or maybe even yourself, who when pressed to a difficult situation, goes down that road. Everything matters. And when he delivers us from our distress, we soon forget our promises. The this, this, and this. Forget the vow and kick right back into business as usual. I want to tell you about a preacher who once told his congregation, "We often sing about standing on the promises while we're sitting on our premises. To be fruitful, we've got to have a faith that acts and produces fruit. Because as James said, faith without works is dead. There's no time to delay. We're called to be Jesus' disciples, followers, and to act now through being gratefully obedient. The time to obey is now. So let me put it to you this way in closing. If you were to delay obeying a stop sign, one of three things might happen. You might get a ticket. You could get in an accident. Or you could have a close call and wind up just barely escaping an accident. The point is, we're fruitful when we're obedient. And on the other hand, we're not so successful when we procrastinate and disobey the Lord. Please be as good as your promises. The religious leaders of Israel did not act on God's word through John the Baptist and Jesus, and so the repentant sinners would be able to enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, instead of them. And the difference between the religious leaders and the repentant sinners is just one thing: obedience. Jesus once said, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." Matthew 12:30. When we agree to obey and work in the vineyard, which is God's kingdom here on earth, we're working and gathering with Christ and for Christ. As we will witness in just a moment, actions still speak louder than words.